So we're going to continue on in our series, and I want to talk about something. You've probably all heard this phrase, don't worry, be happy. You've heard that? Everybody's heard that. Do you know, though, quite a number of years ago, like a lot of years ago, just after that saying sort of became popular, I saw a bumper sticker that said, worry, don't be happy. I actually saw a bumper sticker that said that, and I started to think about it. I thought, don't worry, be happy, worry, don't be happy, and I thought, there is so much truth in those sayings. I mean, think about it. If we worry, we are filled with all sorts of things, and we will be filled with unhappiness. For example, if we start to worry about if we have enough money to pay all the bills at the end, by the end of the month, if we worry about it, we probably won't be very happy. We won't be having happy thoughts. Or if we start to worry about whether the car is going to make the road trip to Kamloops, we're probably going to be pretty worried and not be very happy. Or if we're worrying about whether we have a job tomorrow, or if we're able to retire, and if we, those are just a few things, but as we start to worry about those things or other things, what happens is they push out the blessings that come and we're not happy. We miss all the blessings because we're so caught up in worry. Do you know the phrase, don't worry, be happy, became really popular when Bobby McFerrin made the words into a song in 1988, for you folks that are old enough to remember that. In an interview with USA Weekend magazine, McFerrin explained that he saw a poster of an Indian guru named Mahar Baba with the phrase and thought it was a pretty neat philosophy for four words, so he made it into a song. Wow, this Indian guru came up with this real good phrase? I don't think so. I think it was around a lot longer, maybe not in those exact words, but it was around a lot longer, well before he made his posters. Because Jesus came so that we might have an abundant life, that we might have life to the full. And he knew that if we were filled with worry, we would not experience that full life. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you worry, you won't be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Jesus is saying, in a sense. And we would be truly happy if we didn't worry. Jesus spoke about worry in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And if you looked at these verses in the entirety at one shot, you would notice that in these 10 verses, the Greek word which is translated worry is there five times. And then again, on top of that five times, the word worrying is used. The word worry relates to what we eat and drink twice, and three times it is used in conjunction with our bodies and what we wear, and then once when talking about tomorrow, which would be the future. And if Jesus makes worry his main theme in these verses, it only stands to reason that we need to really know what worry means. So if you go to the internet and you look up the definition for worry, it says, for worry, give way to anxiety and unease, allows one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles, a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. That last part really got me. Over actual problems? We worry over actual problems or potential problems? I think we worry over potential problems more than we worry over actual problems. I find that, I've told you many times that when I write a message that I have to live the message before I can preach it. Well, Monday morning I got to church and I went to start up my computer. Monday was a stat holiday, but Kath was working at the Equality Project, so I thought, well, I'm just going to come and get a good head start on the week. So I pushed the power button on my computer, and it did nothing. It wouldn't load. It was like, oh. All day I was with, I'm so thankful that I have a tech warranty system set up for at least until November anyhow. All day until 5 o'clock, I was with a warranty tech fixing my computer. And it got fixed, so that was great. And so I started Tuesday morning on my message and started working on things and got things going. And, you know, Monday I wasn't really worried about my computer. I was just frustrated with it. You know, me and technology is just like, ugh. So I was frustrated with it. And so I got my message all done, and then Kath had read it over, and it got the stamp of approval, so it was okay to preach. I think God speaks through her to me. I know he does. And anyhow, Saturday, I was just reading over my message, making sure it would go to the cloud and come out on my tablet. And I went to my tablet, and it didn't come out on my tablet. So I went back to my computer, and I did some things. I saved it, reloaded my message, and only half a page of my 6 pages was there. Now, I was past frustration. I was worrying. Do I have to go back to my office and rewrite my message? Kathy said it was okay, Lord. Why did you make it disappear? You know, but it was only a potential problem that I was worrying about, because I did a few things and was able to find the message, the one with the stamp of approval on it. And so we got it back. So the internet defines it as have an anxiety or uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Someone stated, worry is the advanced interest. Interest is paying interest on money. The advanced interest we pay on troubles that seldom come. In other words, we pour out all this and it never happens. Norman Vincent Peale writes that the word worry comes from the Anglo-Saxon word, which means to strangle or to choke. Isn't that what worry does? It strangles and chokes us. And while Lloyd-Jones wrote that worry is something which divides, separates, distracts us, and George Mueller from England wrote, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Those are really true words. You want to write something down, that would be something to write down. These are just a few thoughts. I mean, there's tons and tons of thoughts about what worry is, and we can see that with so much interest in worry, that it's a prevalent problem. It's common in our society today. In other words, worry is something which will strangle or choke out that which our minds should be focused on. It's something which will take our minds off the real issue through feeling anxious and fretting about something else. So in other words, our focus shifts from the real things of life to what we're worrying about, and we're focused on that. So Jesus shares what we're not supposed to worry about. And if we look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 34, Jesus declares this: therefore, I tell you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. And everyone says, amen. Seems to be a lot of troubles in each day. But it's interesting how timeless Jesus' words are. I mean, he spoke these words 2,000 years ago, yet they so apply to life today. He tells us not to worry about everyday life, about what we will eat and drink or wear, or even about tomorrow. Obviously, this was a problem, an issue in Jesus' time, but it's still a big issue today. Well, how do I know? Well, you just have to go to the checkout at your local grocery store and just have a look around at the magazine rack that's right by the checkout there. First of all, you'll see magazines about diet. How many magazines do you see at the checkout about this is the new, the greatest, the fanciest diet? What we should and should not eat or drink. Don't drink coffee, but 3 weeks from now you can drink coffee. Don't eat eggs, but tomorrow it'll be okay. But there's all these magazines that are telling us what we should eat and drink. Oh, but there's other magazines there too. There's magazines on exercise and fashion. What we need to look like. What our bodies should have and shouldn't have. Whether we should be jogging, running. Whether we should be lifting weights. Whether we should be wearing, I don't know what the fashion jeans are, but whatever clothes are. Jeans with lots of rips in them or jeans that are not holy. You know, the magazines have it all. And there's one other magazine that's usually there, or a few of them, and they're always the horoscopes. I don't think you can go past a checkout without finding a horoscope magazine. And why is that? Because it tells you about the future. We want to know what the future is going to be. You know, why are these books, why are all these magazines at the checkout? Why are they there? Jesus says that the world will worry about these things. And because the world worries about these things, there's a market for them. Here, let me take away your worry. Let me write a book on fashion. Or let me write something on exercise. Or on diets. Or on the future. I often wonder what would be in those racks if nobody worried about those things. What would they fill those racks with? The question which comes to mind is, Jesus is saying, first of all, Jesus is saying that we are not to worry about these things. The world worries about them, but we aren't. We are not to let our hearts to be separated, distracted, choked, strangled from the real purpose of life by worrying about these things. So the question that comes to mind is Jesus telling us that we are just to sit around? We're to be super spiritual and not to think about life or what we will eat or what we will wear, or where our food will come from, where our clothes will come from? He isn't stating that. He's not saying, don't think about the future. Don't think about where your clothes are going to come from or what you will eat. He's not saying, don't think about it. He's saying, don't worry about it. Don't be so caught up, so wrapped up in it that it chokes out the real meaning of life. But chances of these things just dropping into our lap, that our food, you know, that we would just sit around and do nothing and that our food would just show up there and on the table. Well, mine does because I have such a great wife. But, you know, or that our clothes are just going to pop out of the sky. That's not going to happen. Listen to what Jesus shares in Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus encourages us to look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away their food. Yet they're healthy. They're well fed, but they don't just sit in the trees and say, well, your heavenly Father is going to feed me, so I'll just sit in this tree and the food will just drop at the branch. No, those birds are out there. They're all over my lawn and garden getting all the good worms that aerate my garden. You know, we were down at Jewel's the other day, last week, and we were sitting out behind the fruit stand and the chickens were there. Those chickens don't just sit around waiting for somebody to feed them. They're constantly scratching the ground and going around and looking for food. They have to work for their food. I think about if we go back to the Old Testament when the Israelites were leaving Egypt And the Israelites started to complain that there was no food. And so God said to Moses, no problem, I'll send them manna. And he sent them manna each night. And when they woke up in the morning, the manna was on the ground, enough for the day. And they just stayed in their house because the manna was there. No, they had to go out and collect enough for each person. Not too much and not too little. But they had to go and work for the food. Notice our verses here reveals that our food, our clothing, comes from our Heavenly Father. It's our Heavenly Father who feeds the birds, who feeds the animals. God cares for the birds and the animals through His providence. Yet it's our Heavenly Father that does that. And Jesus says, it's your Heavenly Father. And if He takes good care of the birds and the animals, how much more is He going to take care of the children He loves? If I told you there was a farmer who cared for his animals, made sure they were well-watered and had lots of food to drink, and he made sure they had good bedding and everything. He did everything for his animals. And this farmer also had some children, and he loved his children, but they starved to death because the father, the farmer, didn't provide them any food. You would say, that's ridiculous. I mean, if the farmer's going to take care of his animals, he's going to take care of his children. I mean, the children he loved, they're way more important than the animals. You would slaughter the cow to feed the children before the children would starve. How much more does our Heavenly Father care for His children? Because that's what a father does. He takes care of his children. The birds and the animals don't worry about their food. Why should we worry and not be happy? Jesus shares that not only does our Heavenly Father care for the birds, but also for the flowers of the field. Listen to verses 28 to 30 in Matthew chapter 6. It says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? O, you of little faith. Jesus uses the birds and the flowers as an illustration of how God cares for them. And then He states that we are His children. We are so much more to Him. See, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created all that was in it. And then He created man and woman. And they are the pinnacle of His creation. If that's the crowning glory of His creation, He's going to take care of us. He will take care of our needs. God, the creator of all things, will supply all we need so we can be happy. Don't worry. If it's that simple, why do we as Christians worry about the needs and the future? Jesus shares in the last part of that verse 30, He says, it's all connected to our faith. He says, O you of little faith. In other words, why do you, if you know your Heavenly Father provides all your needs of everyday life, why do we have so little faith? The reason we worry is because of our small faith. Why did I worry that my sermon was gone? Because of small faith. Kathy didn't worry. She went and prayed right away. She came over and laid her hand on me, and she was praying. I prayed too. I don't want you to think I didn't pray, but I was worrying. I had a worry prayer. Jesus is not just talking about saving faith here. He's talking about to Christians. So He's talking to those who already have the faith to believe that Jesus died on the cross, that He gave everything for us, that He paid the penalty for our sins and set us on a journey to an eternal life with the Father. It's interesting that we can have enough faith to believe that the Heavenly Father has prepared an eternal home for us, but not have enough faith to believe that Jesus can find my sermon when I lose it, or that we can't pay all our bills, or that this illness is too much. He will provide our daily needs. In other words, those Jesus is referring to here are those who will allow faith into part of their lives, but we need to allow faith into every area of our lives. Little faith that does not lay hold to all the promises God has for us. God has lots of promises for us, but little faith only grasps some of them. It's amazing how many promises God has placed in the Bible for us. Here's just a few. He gives rest to the weary. He gives power to the weak. He will be with us. He will be with us in times of trouble. He gives wisdom to those who ask for it. He hears our prayers. He provides all we need. And the list goes on and on. In fact, someone has estimated that there's over 5,000 promises in God's Word. That's a few promises. And yet, many just grasp the promise of His saving power, that He came to save us, and can't have the faith, or don't have the faith, to believe the rest of them. Listen to what Peter wrote about the Father's promises to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the first part. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us really crummy promises. No, He has given us great and precious promises. He's given us because we're His children. So what did He do? He gave us great and precious promises. Someone once said, the trouble with many Christians is that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we do not believe in Him. In other words, we believe that Jesus set us free from our sins, but we don't believe that He will supply all our needs and everything else. That we've just sort of compartmentalized Him, and He's over here, and this is what He can do. But our God is a great and big God, bigger than we can imagine. Don't worry. Be happy. He supplies everything. He will supply all our needs and never leave us. If we will have greater faith, faith that claims all God's promises, faith that believes God means what He says in the Bible, faith that grasps the thought that God is our Heavenly Father, then we will be able to say from the bottom of our heart, don't worry, be happy. Jesus said that the people of this world worry about all these things, but that Christians, we are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He is saying, don't worry about the everyday things. Don't let them choke out or strangle or push aside what is most important. Our Heavenly Father will provide those things. I mean, we have to go out and work for them, like the birds of the air do. We have to work for them, but they're provided for us. They're there, just like the worms are there in the ground for the birds. It's all there. Our Heavenly Father will provide those things. What is important is that we seek after the Father's kingdom and His righteousness. Remember when we started back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, it says, For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Seek after the kingdom and His righteousness. What is important that will make us happy and give us full life is by doing the work of the kingdom. As we live lives which are all about being more like Jesus, seeking His righteousness, then we will be totally satisfied. Then we will be happy. Then we won't worry. It is being said, Worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. Right? You just keep rocking and rocking. You might move an inch or two, but you don't move very far. Worry can consume our lives and give us nothing, absolutely nothing in return. We can't reclaim the hours spent by worrying. I can testify, I've spent hours in my life worrying. They're gone. They're wasted. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus said, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" You can't even reclaim the time, never mind add any time by worrying. Life in the kingdom of God is about having faith in all God's promises. It's wanting more of his kingdom and righteousness. So may we not worry, but be happy, because we are content with life. We are our Father's children. He has provided. It's all there. We just need to do our part. Let's pray. Father, I confess, I struggle with worry. You opened it up in my life through this message. Help me to seek the kingdom and your righteousness more. Father, may we not struggle with worry. May we not battle with it, but may we know and believe all your promises. Your promises are yes and amen. They are true. They are not just little carrots hanging on a stick, but they're there for us to grasp and know. So when your word says that you provide all that we need according to your riches and glory, that is true. And so we don't need to worry about what we need. You will provide it. As we walk with you, as we make you first place, as we do the work of the kingdom, as we seek to be more like Jesus, then we don't have to worry and we will be happy. Thank you, Father, for your love for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.